الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى صدق الله العظيم. Hello, my kiram, most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa, and those listening over receivers. There is no doubt, wal akhiratu khayrun wa abqa. However, our problem is that akhirat is just in our knowledge, that there is an akhirat, there is a world after this world, there is life after this life. There is going to be resurrection, there is going to be day of judgment. That is what we have by way of knowledge. But the haqiqat of that knowledge hasn't entered our hearts. If the haqiqat and the reality of that knowledge enters our hearts, then we will not face the type of conditions that we are facing today. There is no home, there is no family, there is no society, there is no nation where the people are not restless, full of anxieties, worries, problems, a kind of an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the hearts, a kind of an azab that neither are we at peace and nor we do allow anybody else who is at peace to enjoy that peace. That is our condition, that neither are our hearts at ease enjoying peace and tranquility, and nor do we allow those whom Allah Ta'ala blessed with some kind of tranquility and peace to enjoy that peace and tranquility. We make them also restless. Because if one person's akhlaq and character and his kirdar, his actions, his deeds, just one person in a whole family, in the home, if just one person is not right, then he becomes a cause of problem for the entire household, for all people in that home. Just one son must be on drugs. Just one daughter must get involved with somebody in an illicit love relationship, unconcerned about Islam and Sharia and Deen. She just has to say that, well, I love this person, finish. Whether he's Muslim or not Muslim is immaterial to me. Just one daughter has to say that. Or just one person has to be shouting and screaming and behaving in a manner that a madman behaves. For every little thing, there's nothing but screaming and shouting. Just one person has to be such that when he enters the home, then people have to scatter, they have to run, they have to close the doors, shut the doors. Like how when thieves and burglars enter with guns, then every person wants to lock the door. So like that, as if this person who has entered is now going to be terrorizing them. So therefore they have to just disappear from his sight until he has to leave the home again. Then they breathe a sigh of relief. Now all these things I'm not telling you of just as some fairy tales, as I always say. There's such an explosion of these kind of incidents. It's just unreal. And not only South Africa, we're talking about other countries of the world also from where people are writing. It's basically the same problem. So what is the reason? I mean, there has to be some reason. This majlis is majlis of Islam. I won't say it's repeated, that it is, at least for the people that come here, that it is a majlis of Islah. that how long are we going to attend majalis? How many more do we need? And those people who listen over the receivers, or those who listen over the radio stations, or those who listen now over the internet, throughout the world, so many places people are listening. So what is the cause? We have to look at the cause, and that how many more bayans and lectures and talks do we require to change our akhlaq? If it is not changing, then there is some serious problem somewhere. Some serious problem. Like just yesterday or the other day, something that is becoming so frequent and so common. Wallah, believe me, I'm in the masjid here. So frequent and so common. My husband gave me so many talaqs. He gave many, many talaqs. His dozens of talaqs. But they're not separating still. Why? Because there is fear that the family will have to face embarrassment and shame. So they live on like husband and wife. For many years they live on. There are many cases of this nature. They say, how do we face the society? So is the society that important, or is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam that important? Now will these marriages ever patch up where the husband has given three talaqs, he's given more than three talaqs, dozens of times he's given talaq. So many times in an argument or when there is some kind of dispute, and where the wife is saying, well, then you rather just give me my divorce. And the husband says, well, pack up your bags and get out. Now, whilst there was a discussion of talaq, if there was no discussion of talaq, then at that time you have to ask the husband what was his intention when he said, pack up your bags and get out. I don't want to see you anymore. I don't want to have you in my life anymore. Now these are words which are called kinaya. They're ambiguous words. They can have two meanings. That for the time being, I'm sick and tired of you. Just get out of my house. But after a few days, we can reconcile and you can come back. It can have different meanings. So if there was no discussion of talaq, then at that time, we can say that the husband has to be questioned and asked that what was your intention? So the husband will say, my intention was just to tell you to get out of my sight for a little while. So then we will say it is not talaq. But if the husband intended talaq, then it will be one talaq ibayn. But if there was a discussion that was of talaq, of divorce, that in this argument the husband and the wife that which they were having, the wife says, I'm sick and tired of you, rather give me my divorce. And the husband said, well, pack up your bags and get out. So then ask all the muftis, what do they say? So now, these type of things are happening so frequently and so common. Now, if there is no marriage left, if there's no marriage left, the husband has given three talaqs or more, or he has given talaq ibayn, and if they live on now, together, as husband and wife, so look at the consequences, look at the end result. What happens? There is no marriage. So you can bring all the muftis of the world, bring all the counselors of the world, bring everybody together and tell them to reconcile. Tell them to counsel and get a reconciliation between husband and wife. So they spoke to the husband, spoke to the wife, and said, right, in future you must not fight, you must not argue. So they got together, the husband and wife. But Islamically and according to Sharia, are they husband and wife? They are not husband and wife, so they're going to fight again next week, next month, next year. It's going to go on and on. And the wife will keep seeking advice and counseling, and the husband will keep seeking advice and counseling, and nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to change. But the danger now is this, that if there is a child born of this couple, because they're not husband and wife now. So if there is a child that is born or children that are born, those children are illegitimate. Listen carefully to what I'm saying, because it's becoming very, very common. In so many families you will find that they are still living together, and the wife will tell you that my husband is a short-tempered, he blows his shoes over every little thing, and I don't know how many times he gave me talaq. So I say, then why don't you move away? She says, no, well, he doesn't want to accept. Husband doesn't want to accept. One husband says to his wife that I do not want muftis to rule my life. after he has given many talaqs. Now when she says that so many talaqs that the marriage has ended, so he says, I don't want muftis to rule my life. As if, nauzubillah, those muftis were giving some kind of verdict from their pockets. So if that was the case, that you don't want muftis to rule your life, so then you shouldn't have even made nikah. Because the muftis told you that for nikah you need two witnesses and you need mehr and you need this and you need that. So there was no need for those muftis to rule your life. You should have just stayed without nikah also. What was the need to make nikah? So the muftis are not going to rule your life. You are going to find out from them that if I gave my wife three talaqs, then what? If I gave one talaq a ba'in, then what? If I gave a raj'i, then what? Now we can learn all the terminology of the world. The stock exchange, when it collapses, we know all the different terminologies. Sometimes it's bull and sometimes it's bear and sometimes it's other things, everything we know. All so many things we learn. Look at the laws of the government when it comes to business. How many laws we know. When you have to drive, you have to study one whole book. My first driver's test that I went for the license. So I tried to act clever to show the inspector that I am very alert and sharp. So I adjusted the rear view mirror while driving. So he failed me on that. Adjusting rear view mirror while driving. That's what he failed me for. And I had to go back again for it. But we had to study the whole book, the different signs and for learner's license, for driver's license. For so many other things, person fills out forms and forms. But just to learn a few masail of talaq, a few masail of nikah, because he is entering into marriage. Now that is like qiyamah on the person. Said, I did not know. So did you only know one thing, that must sign the register and you are married? Signing the register reminds me, one young boy was proposed. Engaged. Then he heard some bayans that you must not have any kind of communication. You must not court. Because this courting, I mentioned in one bayan, this courting, I said they court and they court and they court. But before the baby court even arrives, they end up in the court. So he said, Maulana, the fingers they itch to phone. What must I do? So if they itch to phone, then with those same fingers, sign the register. Sign the register of nikah. Make nikah. So to learn a few basic masails, it is necessary, it's important. By means of fazail, the person gets an interest in doing the amal. Fazail will increase the urge and the interest and the desire in the heart of a person to do an amal. For example, nikah itself, now if a person heard the fazail of nikah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so many virtues he mentioned of nikah. إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدُ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي نِصْفِ الْبَاقِي. And all the other virtues of nikah, which you hear on, in the nikah bayans. So now after listening to all those virtues of nikah, the person made nikah. That's all he's going to do now, because he became desirous that I'm a young person. Man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. So now this young person, he said, well, I've got the ability, physical, financial and everything else to marry. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared, an-nikahu min sunnati. Nikah is my way of life. So therefore I'm undertaking nikah. Now does that become sufficient? What he learned was the fazilat of nikah. So this fazilat and this virtue of nikah encouraged him, became desirous to fulfill the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he married. But now is that sufficient? If the person does not know the masail now, so then he will be giving talaqs to his wife and he doesn't know that he has given talaq. He will be uttering such kind of statements which are of kufr and the nikah has ended and he doesn't know. And if he gave one talaq, whether it was raj'i or ba'in, what must we do? In which case can he marry the woman again in the iddat period also? In which case he can just take her back without any nikah? Now all these things he has to learn, and there are so many books that are available, or go to the ulama and find out and say that we are getting married, or I'm getting married and I want to know the masail. So then he will not fall into this trap. But if he hasn't learnt it, then ignorance is not accepted in a court of law. If a person just goes and says, I was ignorant of this law, they will say, well, you were ignorant, so pay the fine now, or go into jail. Why were you ignorant? If a person says, I'm ignorant, do they accept it? So this person who has given many talaqs, who has given 3 talaqs, or he has given talaq-e-bahin, now if there is no marriage, no matter how much you try to patch them up, there's going to be no reconciliation in the true sense of the word. They are going to fight and fight and fight. But besides the fights that will take place, the children that will be born of this marriage, they will be illegitimate. Children will be illegitimate. Now the illegitimate child, there are masail now with regards to inheritance. Now this child will be considered to be the child of this couple and will receive inheritance as other children receive. But Islamically and Sharia wise, the person is receiving sometimes haram, sometimes not entitled. Now all these things have to be learned. So what is going to happen is that lifelong they are going to live in sin under the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and there's going to be no happiness at all. So what I was explaining is this, that there is a need to get to the root cause of the problems in our society, in our families, that what is or what has gone wrong. Somewhere something has gone wrong. And it's different if it was just in my family, your family, just around our country or in a few cities. Throughout the world, the same problem. So it clearly shows that we have displeased our Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Our Allah ta'ala has become angry with us. And there is no other way out but to please that Allah. And He is so forgiving, so merciful, so kind, so loving, so tolerant. And He is the only one that no matter what you do, and how far you may have gone, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keeps the doors of repentance open. But when it comes to these masail, that if there is a talaq, then the law will still apply. Sometimes the person has said something or done something which could be sinful. So the sin Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives. But people who are now making statements of this kind, if Allah ta'ala can forgive, then who are the ulama and muftis to say that we can't live as husband and wife? So it shows what kind of ignorance that is. That Allah ta'ala is forgiving the sin of the person, Allah ta'ala will forgive. If he pleads to Allah ta'ala for forgiveness, he'll forgive him. But as far as the law is concerned, it is going to apply. If the nikah has ended, it has ended. If the law says that the namaz is not valid, then it's not valid. If the law says that the person's fast is broken because of what he did, then it is broken. He will have to keep the qaza. But if he deliberately broke his fast, and it is a major, major sin that he has committed, but it was during his school days, college days, university days, and this person now really repents and regrets and expresses remorse and says, Ya Allah, I made a big mistake in my life. I should not have broken my fast. I should not have done what I had done. Then we'll say Allah Ta'ala will accept his tawbah. But does that now mean that he doesn't have to keep qaza, or if it is a kafara that's applicable, he doesn't have to keep kafara? So the forgiveness of the sins is something else. We must not confuse the two. One is forgiveness of the sin, and the other is the law that will apply. If there is a need for qaza, kafara, the person has to do that. So we must not say that the muftis are giving this kind of fatwas, or if Allah Ta'ala is forgiving, then why must the mufti say that, never mind, if you gave 3 talaqs, so what? If you gave 10 talaqs, so what? The mufti can't change that. That's a law of Allah Ta'ala, it's the Quran Sharif, and it will remain. I was going to discuss this malfuz of Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali, which I did discuss in the month of Ramadan. But for the benefit of the audience that is here tonight, because all are not here in the month of Ramadan at Zohar time. I think it was discussed Zohar time. He says, آج کل لوگوں کا حال یہ ہے کہ ان کی عبادات اور وظائف کو دیکھئے تو جنید شبلی معلوم ہوتے ہیں اور اخلاق اور معاملات پر اگر نظر کیجئے تو فرعون سے بھی کم نہیں ہے. He says, we have to look at the عبادات of the people today, and that to a small percentage. How many people really do عبادات? How many people are really 5-time namazis, making some zikr, tilawat, or going out in gush, talim, and tabligh, or going to the khanqahs and sitting by the mashayikh and trying to make the islah? What percentage? A very small percentage. Now he's saying in that small percentage also, which is in that field and in that line, those whom people now consider to be pious and righteous and God-fearing people, because they look at their akhlaq, they look at their ibadat, they look at their namaz, they look at the zikr, they look at the tilawat, they look at the tears in the duas, and they come to the conclusion that this person must be a Junaid of the time and the Shibli of the time and the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani of the time and the Bayazid Bustami of the time, looking at the person's ibadat. And looking at the person's zahir, when they look at us in our zahir. He says, but if you have to look at the person's akhlaq, and if you have to look at his muamlat, his dealings, and his character. These are the things by which a person is judged. In the eye of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person's akhlaq is extremely important. And people also, when they have to deal with us, when they have to look at our akhlaq and our character, so then they become disappointed. They look at our outward, they get very, very impressed. I think I mentioned in one of the majlis as Dr. Abdul Haysab Rahmatullah Ali, he says that he looked at one young person who was very, very engrossed, deeply engrossed in dua, and he was crying and tearing and shaking his head, and so he became so impressed that look at this young person, how much of tawazu he's got and how much of piety and taqwa he has got. That is. So then one person, semi-blind or blind, he was walking and accidentally he knocked into him. And this young person who was just now crying in the dua, he started screaming and shouting, you're blind, you're deaf, you're dumb, and I don't know what he told him, what kind of a person you are, don't you know, can't you see me? See, that person was just now showing so much of piety in his dua. And this is his attitude when it came to an elderly person who accidentally knocked into him. So where is the akhlaq? So we will be tested by our akhlaq. That is where the test is. Not in how much of zikr we make and how much of dua we make and how much of salat we make. These are important things. Without salat, there's no iman. The person is not a Muslim also without Salat. We must not mention Salat, Zakat, fasting as some kind of insignificant ibadat. They are pillars of deen. Without that, there is no Islam. Without that, there is no Islam. Because many a times what happens is that those people who don't make namaz, those who don't fast, those who don't make hajj, or don't give zakat, or those people who are engaged in lots of other sins. But when it comes to the people that are making namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, and if that person had to make one mistake, one slip, then say, what's the sense of your namaz and roza, zakat, hajj? We don't make namaz, roza, zakat, but the thing is, look at our charities and look at our care for the poor and the needy, they talk like that. So they don't have the right to say that because they've got no namaz, roza, zakat, hajj in their lives. But the person who's got namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, so now then he must take it further. He must not stop there and say that, look, I've got namaz, roza, zakat, so what is the need for anything more now? What is important is the akhlaq, because that is where the huququl ibad will generally come in. In the akhlaq, the huququl ibad will come in. And until the person who has been harmed or injustice has been done, to that person, until that person does not forgive, Allah Ta'ala also doesn't forgive. In this world, the person has to seek forgiveness. In Akhirah, that's Allah Ta'ala's prerogative, how he's going to deal. But huququl ibad will come in that, our dealings with people, our clients, our customers, our suppliers, the people that we sell to, the people we buy from, the people we deliver to, the people that we talk to in our businesses and in our other activities. So that is where akhlaq will come. Then in our home, with our wives, with our children, with our parents, that is where akhlaq will come in. And in so many other departments as we have been discussing. So therefore he says that people, when you look at our namaz, roza, and look at our ibadat, then they will think that we are Junaid the Baghdadi of the time. But when it comes to our muamlat and our akhlaq, then he says, Fir'aun se become nahi. Worse than Fir'aun. How people feared Fir'aun. Like that, people fear us. They fear to deal with us. They fear to sit and talk to us. اصلاح کے نہ ہونے کے سلسلے میں لوگ یہ عذر بیان کرتے ہیں کہ ہمارا ماحول بہت خراب ہے اور اسی کی وجہ سے اصلاح پر قدرت نہیں. And when you ask them that, why are you not making your اصلاح, they say ماحول is very bad, environment very bad. So this I have discussed many times, that what is ماحول, what is environment, why do we blame the environment all the time? There's no doubt that there is an environment outside which is vicious. I've repeatedly said it's vicious. It's like how a person is going into the Kruger National Park. And if the person is not in his car with his windows tightly shut, then there are lions there, there's tigers there, there's cheetahs there, there's scorpions there, there's big, big cobras there, and pythons there, and everything is there. It's a very vicious environment. If a person is not devoured by the lion, then something else will cause him harm. So there is an environment like that there. So like that is our environment also. That the moment the person steps out from his house on the streets, in the marketplaces, at the airports, in the aeroplanes, everywhere there is nothing but fitnas. Colleges and universities, there's fitnas. So the person could say that outside the environment is a little bit vicious, so he has to be extra careful, more on guard. But there too he cannot say that it's impossible. To practice on Sharia, it is impossible. That the person must never say, otherwise it means that the Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif and Islam and Deen was for the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and not thereafter. So look at the implications of that, the ramification of that. So what he can say is that there is a little difficulty in practicing, but that is because of our own weakness. That we have not changed the environment. The companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, wherever they went, they changed the environment. They totally changed it. So much so that even the language changed, the dressing changed, and everything changed. Africa and other places. So he says, whenever we ask that, why is it that your akhlaq not changing? They say, mahol, mahol, environment. So what is environment? Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi's beautiful share you have heard. Zamana hum ko badal sake, ye zamane mein dam nahi. Zamana khud hum se hai, hum zamane se nahi. That mahol and environment changes us. It's not possible. We are the ones that will change the environment and the mahol. We have so many different things to change the environment. If it is extremely hot, then we say, put the air conditioner on. Now, there was a kind of a environment, there was a mahol that was in that room, in that masjid, in that shop or wherever it is. We will say that it was a kind of a mahol. It was an environment of heat. So what did we do? We say, switch the air conditioners on. And if it was very cold, then we say, put the heaters on. So there was an environment, there was a mahol of cold. So we said, put the heaters on. And what did those heaters do? It changed that environment. It brought heat into that environment. And what did those air conditioners do? They brought coolness into that environment. in that room, in that masjid now with his coolness. So like that, we have to put those air conditioners of ibadah, zikr, tilawat into those homes to bring the coolness of the rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala into those homes. Change the environment. And it is within our power, just as within those rooms and within those homes, it's in our power. You cannot go and put air conditioner in fresh air and cool the whole environment outside. Can we do that? If somebody says, it's very hot outside also, Maulana, so let's do something about it. So what must we do? Hang some air conditioners in fresh air. The sun is going to do its job, is going to heat the world. But within our rooms and within our homes and within our masjid and within that limited environment, and sometimes not limited, sometimes massive halls, and they can still be cooled. And there are massive buildings and they can still be heated. So how did they get heated? And how did they get cooled? So that is within our power. We said that bring those air conditioners, put it inside there and they cooled up. Or bring those heaters and they warmed up. So that which is within our power we can do, that in our homes we can put those air conditioners of zikr, of tilawat, of ibadat, learning the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, discussion of tafsir and Quranic ayat. Discussing general matters also is not a problem. We don't say whole day the person must just sit and talk about deen. General matters also the person discusses, but he does not disobey Allah. He does not introduce into those homes the fire of sins. Because if he's going to introduce into those homes the fire of sins, then those air conditioners are not going to work. Those fans are not going to work. If a person's house, the person lights up all the fireplaces that he has got there and puts the heaters on, on a hot day, he puts the heaters on, lights the fireplace, and that room is now fully heated and it's boiling inside there. And then he goes inside there with one small little fan. I always say that little fan which you have to bring right up to your nose, those little children play with it, with a small battery fan. So they bring right up to the nose to get a little bit of breeze. Now that's the kind of fan we introduce into that house. Do we expect it to cool that room when there's fire burning all sides? We have lit up the fire of sins all round. There's nothing but fire. Now we want to introduce a little bit of breeze. We say we make some tilawat of the Quran Sharif. One ruku I read, Maulana, in the mornings. And somebody says that I read half a tasbih. And somebody says that I read some namaz. Now will that cool that house when we've got the television going the whole day with all the filthy and dirty pictures, with the music, with the cinemas on the, and with the nightclubs coming on it, and with the discos coming on it, and with the dancing on it, and with all the other haram on it. And then we say we read some Quran Sharif in the morning. That to those who read. So will it cool those rooms? So the changing of that mahal is in our capacity. We can do that, that at least within our homes we can change that mahal. Nobody can say, I cannot change the mahal in my home. If the family sits together and the father and the mother say that, this home belongs to us. You, my dear children, you have to live according to the rules of this house. And the rules of this house is you can eat, you can drink, you must enjoy yourselves, you must play games, you must be friendly and cheerful and you must do everything. But there's no question of TVs and movies and haram viewing and haram reading and haram discussions and haram eating and haram drinking or fornication or adultery and those kind of things is not allowed in this house. So cannot we change it? Then if you introduce Fazail Kitabs so that they get some kind of encouragement, they become conscious of the virtues of the different Ibadat, one Hadith Sharif a day. And then also we introduce Masail, that this is how a person should live. This is how Namaz should be made. This is how a person should give Zakat. and all the akhlaq and muamalat, this is how dealing should take place. These are the transactions which are halal according to the age and capacity of the child. If little is given, there cannot be any question of the child going astray. We will say, then what about the schooling and the college and all? The child will go outside. Definitely there is a bad environment outside, but at least when he'll come back home, then straight away we monitor again. And we do some kind of clean up and brushing up and polishing up. But unfortunately these things fall on deaf ears majority of the time. Then when we are faced with a problem, at that time we run. In just this last week alone, I mentioned this before also, for that week, whichever week I must have mentioned. Now I'm talking about last week, this week that has gone by. At least six young people, those who were here the other day, they must have, in any case, I don't want to mention it, but six people in the last 1 week, they want to have nothing to do with Islam, they want to have nothing to do with Allah Ta'ala, they want to have nothing to do with Sharia, they want to have nothing to do with Quran and Sunnah, they're very disappointed, somebody is very, very hurt because that girl let him down, so now Allah Ta'ala has let him down, na'uzu billah. Letters, emails, phone calls. How much of time is required now to explain a Muslim, a person who was a Muslim? Now you must spend 1 hour to explain to him about the existence of Allah Ta'ala. That one young person who said, well, fed up with Allah Ta'ala. So I said, but then alhamdulillah, we called them, talked to them. So I said, no problem, why? You're fed up and tired with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, no problem. What you do is return your eyes to Allah Ta'ala, return your heart to Allah Ta'ala, and this intelligence with which you are rejecting Allah Ta'ala, in inverted comma, your intelligence. In any case, the intelligence that Allah Ta'ala has given, return it to Allah Ta'ala. Go in a madhouse. And all these things which made you reject belief in Allah Ta'ala, your wealth or your cell phone and your car and whatever you've got, because it is all Allah Ta'ala's gifts, so return it to Allah Ta'ala. Don't use anything that has been given by Allah Ta'ala. After that, no problem, you can forget about Allah Ta'ala. Can anybody do that? And then explaining to him, alhamdulillah, at the end of it again they say, say now, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now can you imagine, we have to go on and on making a Muslim Muslim. Muslim comes out of Islam, bring him back into Islam. Muslim goes out of Islam, bring him back into Islam. Parents should not be asleep and think that this is happening in the homes of people coming from broken homes and terrible backgrounds. And it's not terrible backgrounds and broken homes. I'm talking about homes in which there's deen, which is Islam, there's Sharia, Quran and Sunnah. The fathers are sometimes in the first saf and the mothers are making tahajjud namaz. But because of this neglect that they showed, that they were unconcerned when those children were watching those TV programs in their rooms. And they themselves provided those TVs and they themselves watch with them too, many other programs. And there is that message which is affecting the subconscious mind which they do not want to accept. That there is a message, otherwise what else is causing this, that little children are behaving in a manner that is unbelievable. But we don't want to accept it because of our nafs. We just want the enjoyment of that haram. And look at the kind of statements that people are then making. It hurts, it really hurts, but what do we do? We have to just go on saying it and then leave it to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to give hidayah. But there is a message, subconscious mind is being affected by the different kinds of programs that are coming, which sometimes outwardly seem innocent programs. There's no such thing as innocent program. That music and that devil is going to affect. It's going to affect. Now this one youngster, because I'm not mentioning any names, and I make dua for them too, and I will embrace them and bring them back, inshallah, or work hard. Because they make mistake, they are young, they slip and they fall. But this one youngster from a certain place. Now they say that he used to be the last one to leave the masjid. He used to be the last one to leave the masjid. So I asked him a simple question, that you were the last one over the past 6 months or something to leave the masjid, and you were making Quran Sharif tilawat and zikr and ibadat and whatever it is in that masjid wherever you used to go. What was all that for? What was it for? Was it for that woman, for that girl? That you were making dua and all out effort you were making, that somehow the parents must accept, because the parents from the past year or so, they're refusing. And he's trying everything. So I say, was this 6 months ibadat for that? Was that ibadat for that? Because the moment that failed, now you say, now I'm tired of Allah. So is our ibadat zikr tilawat for some pretty face? Phool mur ja gaye chandni dal gaye apna anjaam bhi keh gayi har kali phool mur ja gaye chandni dal gayi apna anjaam bhi keh gayi har kali بے نشاں ہو گئے ہر نشاں بے نشاں ہو گئے ہر نشاں خاک چانی مگر کیا ملی بے نشاں ہو گئے ہر نشاں قبر میں خاک چھانی مگر کیا ملی. All those pretty faces have turned to dust. Love your wives, that is the hukam of Sharia. All these other pretty faces will bring nothing but restlessness, anxieties, and that is okay, at least if it stops there with restless and anxieties. But when it takes the person out of deen and out of Islam and makes the person reject Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then are those pretty faces of any value? So he says, go to the qabr and shake the earth and ground and see where the pretty faces have gone after they are dead. The beautiful flowers now you'll get in spring, go to the gardens, blue, red, green, yellow, violet. When they fall and turn to dust, look for the colors there. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. May He light up our hearts with His muhabbat and with His love so much that it becomes extremely easy to give up all those things that are haram and sinful. We must work on the heart and develop that love for Allah Ta'ala. Without that, we are not going to get anywhere. Love and muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen Sallallahu Alaihi wa ala Alihi wa Ashabihi wa Ajma'in. اے میرے مولا اے میرے مالک یا ذل جلال و اکرام ہم گنہگار ہے سیاہکار ہے بدکار ہے مجرم اور خطاکار ہے We are extremely sinful servants of yours my beloved Allah There is no one for us besides you تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا نہیں We have raised our begging bowls before you, my beloved Allah. Don't turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness. Don't reject us, my beloved Allah. We are acknowledging every sin of ours. We are not justifying any of our sins. Indeed, we are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. Nafs and shaitan have ganged up against us. They want to snatch away our iman, our Islam, our akhlaq. Nafs and shaitan want to see us destroyed. Nafs and shaitan want to drag us down the gutters of embarrassment and disgrace. My beloved Allah, you want to give us izzat, respect. We are turning towards you for forgiveness of all our sins. You dearly love forgiveness of the sinners who turn towards you with repentance. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Bless us, my beloved Allah, with Iman and Yaqeen, like that of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'een. Bless each and every one of us with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with your ma'rifat, with yaqeen in you, with muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. There are so many sick and ailing, my beloved Allah. We know that in these days, through sicknesses, through poverty, through some other difficulty, trial and test, my beloved Allah, you bless so many people. But even if it is a rahmat, change it to the rahmat of good health. Change it to the rahmat of good health. Change it to the rahmat of good wealth. Ya Allah, become pleased with us. Hum se razi ho ja. Give us the himmat and courage to throw out of our homes and lives all those things that are bringing so much of corruption in the lives of our children and ourselves. Ya Allah, give us the himmat to change the mahol at least within our homes. Ey mere Allah, hamara ban ja, hame apna bana le. Jo bimar hai unko shifa ata farma. We are also spiritually sick, my beloved Allah. Bless us with complete cure from all our spiritual ailments. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Ya Allah, Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem. Accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Tabligh Dawat ki mehnat qubool farma. Gash Talim Ijtimaat ko qubool farma. Masajid Madaris Khankao ko qubool farma. Bless us, my beloved Allah, with good akhlaq. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. When the time of our departure comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with Shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. With burial in Maqam. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our life, in our time. Change the conditions of insecurity in this country to that of security, of adversity to that of prosperity, of sadness and grief to that of happiness and joy, of weakness to that of strength. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samim wal qaleem wa tub alayna innaka antat تواب الرحیم. کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں, میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں, وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا, یہی رات دن میں دعا. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقه سیدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.